Thank you, Father, as we stand before you today. Our heart's ready. Our heart's ready. Our heart's ready, God. Let your word come. Holy Spirit, open to our understanding. The word of the Lord. The word that will bring such transformation to our lives, to our city, to our nation, to the nations beyond. Thank you for it. Thank you. I pray that the eyes of our understanding, as Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus, the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, God. That we would understand the exceeding riches of your mercy and your grace. That we would grasp the hope of our call today. The exceeding abundant riches that are found only in Jesus Christ. Help us to take these riches to the nations, God. This good news is meant to be shared. God, thank you. Thank you for opening our hearts today. Opening our understanding in Jesus' name. Come on, can we celebrate the King of Kings, the Governor of the Nations, the Lord of the Harvest? I mean, really celebrate him today. Yes! Come on, everybody, shout yes. Yes. Luke chapter 10, verse 21, while we're standing, we're reading from this one passage of scripture from the Passion Translation. Then Jesus... Let's read together. Then Jesus, overflowing with the Holy Spirit's anointing of joy, exclaimed, "Father, thank you, for you are the Lord supreme over heaven and earth. You have hidden the great revelation of this authority from those who are proud, those wise in their own eyes, and you have shared it with these who humbled themselves. Yes, Father, this is what pleases your heart, and the very way you've chosen to extend your kingdom, to give to those who become like trusting children." You may be seated today. Thank you. Welcome to this, our first service and our mission Sunday today. Already been just so stirred, so moved today, just in the presence of the Lord, as well as the challenges placed before us in going, sharing the good news and receiving from our sister Jackie Okinda and the report from South Africa and the needs being presented. And thank you so much for responding. And we're believing God to do great things and to help us do more than we've ever done before. And I want to focus our hearts in that line toward the word of the Lord today, challenging each of us in the year of 2019, this year, the year of yes, that God will grant unto us, beginning with each of us as individuals and then corporately as a church, that we'll say yes to God and all that he has designed. Our text today begins with joy. The joy, the Holy Spirit's anointing of joy overflowing in Christ. And the joy that Jesus experienced and these words that he expressed, which we read together in verse 21 of Luke 10, these came after the return of a group of 70 disciples whom Jesus sent out two by two on a mission. He sent them out to prepare a number of towns and villages that he would later on visit. And he sent out these 70 with his message. He sent them out under his authority. Jesus compared the work, or this work, to a harvest, the gathering of new believers into the kingdom. The disciples, these 70, completed their mission. They saw tremendous results as they ministered in Jesus' name and with and under his authority. They returned rejoicing, and Jesus rejoiced with them, praising God for the defeat of Satan and the fact that God the Father had chosen these humble followers to extend his kingdom. Christ's mission on earth was to reveal God the Father to the people, to establish God's kingdom in the earth. His mission was to reveal to a miserable, broken world the immeasurable mercies of his loving Father. This was Christ's mission. This was his purpose of coming, to reveal God the Father to people, establishing his kingdom in the earth. He came in the midst of the brokenness, the hurting, the hungry, the destitute. And he revealed the immeasurable mercies of a loving Father, a loving God. His words brought salvation down to earth. He explained his Father's love through parables and teachings. But most of all, he demonstrated the immensity of God's love through how he lived his life. He brought the word of the Lord. He explained his Father's love through parables and teachings, but most of all, he demonstrated the greatness and the immensity of God's love through living his life, how he lived his life. He closely, and by closely observing and examining Jesus' actions, principles, and attitudes, we can come to know God more clearly by really focusing on how Jesus lived his life and the actions he took, the principles that he lived by, and his attitudes. We can begin to really understand the Father's heart. We can begin to understand God much more clearly. And there's a purpose behind it all. And the purpose is this: based on that understanding, that observation that we make, and that examination, and that grasping and understanding his and taking hold of how he lived, and by understanding that, we now reveal the Father's love to a hurting world. And thus, we extend his kingdom in the earth. that God now uses us. Jesus said in verse 21 of the latter part of our text, "Yes, Father, this is what pleases your heart. And the very way that you've chosen to extend your kingdom. Yes, Father, this is what pleases your heart. And the very way that you've chosen to extend your kingdom." I want to minister today on this Mission Sunday. Yes, I will extend God's kingdom. Yes, I will get involved in extending the kingdom of God. And yes, I will connect with what God is doing in the earth. This is the year of yes. And we're connecting with the yes of God. There's a yes over our nation. There's a yes over our city. There's a yes over the nations of Africa in our zone. And God is waiting for us to say yes. Yes, I will extend. Yes, this is the very way, Father. Yes, Father, this is what pleases your heart and the very way you've chosen to extend your kingdom. In life, it often seems that the rich of this world, the intelligent, the good-looking, the elite, the powerful, they're the ones, it seems, in this world who attain the greatest advantage and the greatest reward. But the kingdom of God is equally available to all, regardless of position, regardless of abilities. We come to Jesus not through strength, not through our brains, but through childlike faith. It is by trusting in His grace, not in our personal qualifications, that secures our citizenship in God's kingdom. We all come the same way. It's not through our gifting. It's not through our abilities. It's not through our riches. It's not through our intelligence. It's by trusting in His mercy, trusting in His grace. We all come the same way. And we enter in, not according to our own personal qualifications, but we become citizens of this heavenly kingdom by placing our faith in Jesus, our King, who has, by the finished work of the cross, secured our place. And once we become members of the kingdom of God, no longer citizens, although we're in this earth, our citizenship has changed. We're now citizens of the heavenly kingdom. And once we become members of that kingdom, God commands us to center or orient our lives around His kingdom. Yes, Father, this is what pleases your heart. Yes, Father, this is what pleases your heart and the very way you've chosen to extend your kingdom. You've chosen to extend your kingdom as the citizens of that kingdom center their lives, focus entirely their lives around the purpose of that kingdom. As we focus our lives around the extension of His kingdom, this is the way God has chosen. And this means that as we submit ourselves to our King, or as we say yes to our King, and we take on His values and we take on His priorities, then He gives us power and authority to demonstrate His rule and His reign. As I submit myself to the Lord Jesus, as I say yes, and I'm praying that in 2019, in this year, that we will say yes. There are areas in our lives where we need to surrender. There's areas in our lives where we need to submit, and we need to say yes to Jesus. God, by His Holy Spirit, is dealing with each one of us. He's working deeply on the inside of us, and He's desirous that we conform to His likeness. He desires that we become more like Him, that we download His values, that we take on His heart, His values, that we live our lives as He would have us live. And the more we do that, the more power we attain and the more authority we are given to demonstrate that truly He is Lord of our lives. He is ruling and He is reigning. We've said yes. Some of you are saying no. When God by His Spirit is touching areas of your life and you're squirming and you're struggling and you're resisting, I want to challenge us today. Nations are waiting. Nations are waiting. And it's not those who say no that will be used to make a difference in the nation and to demonstrate that truly He is ruling and reigning. It's those who say yes. It's those who say yes. This hurts. This is painful. This is not easy, but I say yes to God. I say yes to what God's doing inside of me. To live by this value is not easy. To live by what He commands and demands and how He demands us to live is not easy. But I say yes. Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, empower, quicken me, help me, strengthen me. I want to live by Your word. I want to live by Your standards. I want to live by Your values. I want to live by Your priorities. That's the people God is looking for, who will then go forth into the nations, beginning right here in our own city, in our own community, and demonstrate His lordship, demonstrate His rule and His reign. We are yes people. We are yes people. Yes, Lord. It's through and by that demonstration of yes, I've surrendered. Yes, I've given up my agenda. Yes, I'm living the way He wants me to live. Yes, I'm serving Him. Yes, I'm giving myself each and every day. I'm seeking to stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit and live my life according to His word, and I'm making and basing my choices upon the Holy Spirit's dealings. I'm saying no to certain things. I'm saying yes to obedience. I'm saying yes to conformity. I'm saying yes to His standards and His values. And it's through and by that demonstration that we extend His kingdom in the earth, beginning in our own world. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14 says, "This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony. My life is a message. Saint Francis of Assisi said, "Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words." My life is a message. My saying yes, yes, to the values of God's kingdom. My saying yes to the dictates of that kingdom, to the commands of our governor of the kingdom, my saying yes and my conforming and my living under His lordship and under His rulership every day of my life, this is now, I'm positioning myself, I'm now being used by Him. By that demonstration and by the way I live, I extend His kingdom in the earth. I'm on mission. I am a person on mission simply by the way I live And the way I conduct myself demonstrates that I'm part of a kingdom far greater than any earthly kingdom. Hallelujah. This, my friend, is to become our mission, our sole purpose in life. Luke chapter 8, verse 1, soon afterward, Jesus began going around from one city and village to another, preaching and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 disciples were with him. Jesus began going around from one city and village to another, preaching and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. Look at this last statement. The 12 disciples were with him. We're with him. Are you with him this morning? Are we with him this morning? To come to that place of submission, of coming to that place of saying, yes, I will get involved. Yes, I will live my life in this manner. Yes, I will extend his kingdom. Yes, I will demonstrate. I will be involved in what he's involved with, and I will live my life in such a manner that Christ is seen in me, and those around me who are not part of his kingdom will be impacted by the way I live. To come to that, our first truth is contained in that last statement. The 12 disciples were with him. Number one, to say yes, I will, we must be a disciple. You and I must be a disciple of Christ. We must be a disciple. The yes is predicated, the yes is determined by the way I live and coming to be and giving my life as his disciple. To truly see God's kingdom extended in the earth and to be a part of that, we must move past simply saying, I know Christ as my personal Savior. We must move past that to, I am a disciple of Christ. Yes, I am a disciple of Christ. Yes, Father, this is what pleases your heart. Yes, Father, this is what pleases your heart and the very way you've chosen to extend your kingdom. How has Christ chosen to extend his kingdom? By living through his disciples. How has Christ chosen? How has God chosen to extend his kingdom? By his disciples. Demonstrating that they have conformed to Christ, Christ-likeness, that we love as he loved, that we live as he lived, that we demonstrate to everyone around us, beginning right here in our own community, among our own friends, in our own city, in our own nation. Missions begins with me. We are on mission to demonstrate to everybody that we have been totally transformed. Our lives are completely new and changed. Come on. We're missionaries. We're on mission. And so, if we're going to see his kingdom extended in the earth and to really be a part of the yes, then we must move past simply saying, I know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. We must begin to proclaim that we know him as Lord. We know him as Master. We are his disciple. My attitudes are being conformed
I am being intentional in conforming my attitudes to take on the attitude and the mind of Christ. I'm putting down, I am his disciple, I'm putting down thinking of the world kind of thinking. My life is coming truly under his lordship, and it's evidenced in my actions. It's evidenced in my words. It's evidenced in my time on the internet. It's evidenced on Facebook. It's evidenced in every aspect of my life. I am a disciple. I am a learner. I am under his tutorship. The goal of a disciple is to have an intimate relationship with his mentor, to become like him in his message, ministry, and character. The goal of a disciple is to have such an intimate relationship with the one discipling him, to become like him in his message, in his ministry, and in his character. The disciples, the 12 disciples, were with him as Jesus went out and proclaimed and preached the gospel of the kingdom. His disciples were with him throughout. They saw his responses. They saw how he handled himself. They saw how he, everything that he did, they were his disciples. And they sought to live and to become like him. Spending time with Jesus means you become like Jesus. Spending time with Jesus means you become like Jesus. What message are we taking to the nations? What is the gospel that we are to proclaim? That Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We cannot properly proclaim his message until we have been changed by his message and until we demonstrate that change and that transformation. Our proclamation has very little effect if the message has not transformed us. And so to be his disciple simply means that I'm spending time with him. I'm having intimacy with him. I'm sitting at his feet. I'm learning his ways. I'm living. I'm responding to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Don't say that. Don't do that. Say no to that. I'm responding. I'm allowing my life to be conformed to his likeness. This is the kind of mission. This is the kind of mission candidates that we want. This is how we want to connect with the heart of God. This is what we've got to come to grasp and understand. We take on his values when we're with him. We take on his message, his life. So whenever you go, whenever you preach the message as Jesus does, and you demonstrate, you will then demonstrate the ministry as Jesus would have you demonstrate it. That's what's so powerful. So be a disciple. To be able to come to this Yes, I'm getting involved. Yes, I'm connecting with the heart of God. Yes, I'm on mission. It requires that we be a disciple of Christ. Secondly, to come to that place of yes, I will get involved. Yes, I will extend his kingdom. We must be trained by Jesus. We must be trained by Jesus. The reason that Jesus called his disciples, it wasn't that they simply follow him. That was the beginning invitation. Follow me. He said to Matthew, who was sitting at the receipt of custom, follow me. He said to Peter, follow me, to James and John, follow me, and I will make you. I will make you. So it moves from discipling to training. It begins with discipling. It moves to training. The reason Jesus called his disciples was to train them, to make them, to both continue and extend his ministry. Luke chapter 6, verse 40 says, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. You can be a follower of Christ and not be trained by Christ. You can be a follower of Christ without having said yes to be trained by Christ. We can be a follower of Christ. Do you follow Christ? Yes, I follow Christ. But when it comes down to that place of training, do you know, as parents, we spend the greater part of our lives training our children. We train. This is why parenthood is a huge challenge, because you spend the greater part of your day training. Training starts with potty training. And believe me, that's the easy one. We think it's really hard, but listen, as they keep growing up, boy. How many parents are here and you feel me? You feel me today. Come on. Well, I saw three hands. A true disciple of Jesus enters a lifelong training process to live the same life as Jesus lived. This is something that's not attained. Just like you don't train your child in a matter of a few days or weeks, it's an ongoing. Listen, a disciple of Jesus is to enter a. It starts with discipling. It starts with the desire to learn. It starts with acknowledging his lordship. It starts with acknowledging him as master. It starts with acknowledging him as king, that we want to be involved in extending his kingdom. We want to do more than we've ever done before, but it has to move into training. It's a lifelong process of training to live the same life as Jesus lived. We see followers of Christ who experience a partial freedom in their lives, but they struggle. They experience a partial freedom in their lives, but they struggle to allow the Holy Spirit to train their senses, to deal fully with their passions and their desires. They struggle with various things. They struggle with various lusts. They struggle with various challenges. And Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14 says, solid food is for the mature, whose spiritual senses perceive heavenly matters, and they have been adequately trained by what they've experienced to emerge with understanding of the difference between what is truly excellent and what is evil and harmful. They have been adequately trained. Their spiritual senses perceive heavenly matters. This, my brothers, when we say yes to this right here, then we're positioning ourselves for God to use us to extend his kingdom in the earth. Because those that God wants to use, those that God will use, are those who have submitted to this process, who have said yes to the training, who have said yes to the Holy Spirit, working and dealing deeply, who allow the Holy Spirit in the night hours, wake them up and begin to work in their attitudes, begin to work with them, hearing that still small voice of the Holy Spirit to train, to allow themselves to be trained so that we're not following every dictate of the flesh. We're not living according to what the flesh desires or demands. We're living according to what the Spirit is saying and what the Spirit desires. And we've embraced His value. We're being trained in His values, the values of Christ, the priorities of Christ. We're allowing the Word of God to work on the inside of us so that our senses can perceive heavenly matters, and that we're adequately trained to emerge with understanding, knowing the difference between evil and what is excellent. Training is being equipped, not just educated. Training is being equipped, not just educated. Training is being formed as well as informed. It's being formed into and being trained into Christ likeness. This is what we must say yes to. We must say yes to being trained. I pray in Nairobi Lighthouse Church at this year of yes that we will say yes to God, and yes to what God desires. Say yes to His plan and purpose, so God can use us as a church. The needs are so vast right here in our own nation, right here in our own city, right here in our own community. We must be people on mission, and God using us like never before. People who are being formed, who are ready to go at His bidding, who are ready, who have said yes to His dealings and yes to His work. Discipleship is not so much what one knows as it is what one does about what he knows. A true disciple of Jesus is not so much about what we know, the knowledge that we have. We can say, yes, I know Jesus. Do we really know him? Do we really know his heart? Come on, today on this Mission Sunday, he's weeping for the broken and the lost today. His heart is desirous that men everywhere might come to the saving knowledge, his saving knowledge, and he desires to use us. And so often we're caught up and we've said yes to things that we shouldn't say yes to. And I pray today that we will receive the message of God as his people, as his church, and that we will begin as individuals to say yes to his dealings, yes to his words, yes to his life, yes to his values, yes to his priorities. He's the head of the church. And we take it is his message that we're taking into the earth. Nations are waiting for the hope that we have. And so often we get distracted. We get distracted. You know, I was reading in this 10th chapter of Luke in preparation today for this message, and when Jesus sent out the 70, in the Passion Translation, it said, don't greet any man by the way. You're to go out and stay focused. And the Passion Translation says, don't allow anyone to distract you along the way. Don't allow anyone to distract you along the way. I want us to stand together right now. And I want us to just lay aside every distraction. Let all distractions fall aside. And let's say yes. Let's say yes. Everything that we're caught up in the flesh, and everything that we're caught up in that is just hindering us in really the usefulness that God has for us and what God wants to do through us in a greater measure. Let's just say no to those things and let's turn and say yes. Father, we just come before you right now in Jesus' name, and we set our hearts in your presence today, thanking you for your word, thanking you for your presence, thanking you for the privilege that we have of being involved in your kingdom. Thank you for the privilege we have of serving. And Lord, we just want to say yes right now. We want to say yes to your dealings. Forgive us, Lord, for drawing back. Forgive us for closing our hearts. You are our master. We truly want to be your disciples. We want to be trained. We want to learn. We want to come to greater understanding in our lives. Come on, if you're ready to say yes, you really are ready to say yes to his lordship. You know the areas he's dealing with you, the areas of your thinking, the areas of your actions. Come on, this is mission training right here. This is missionary preparation today. Come on, this is getting us ready to go back out into our world and that we can truly demonstrate to those around us. We're living this thing. We're walking in this thing. We've embraced this truth in every area of our lives. Come on, what area is God dealing with you? It could be in your attitude. It could be in your, in a certain thing that you're doing, or a work of the flesh, something in your flesh that you're doing, that you're reading, or you're, whatever it is you're caught up in today, we must first learn to say no. I want to encourage you to say no to that and then say yes to Jesus.